Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Ksuvas daf Mem Dalad. Ksuvas daf Mem Dalad. We're learning Le'ila Nishmas Shum Zalman Ben Rabbi Yisrael Avram. The Shama should have an Aliyah. Today is the Yartzeit. We left off on Mem Gimel Amad Beis. We're up to the words Umigvas Memes Gavi. So just getting our bearings. In the Mishnah, we had discussed that we know once a girl, father's rights, jurisdiction over his daughter, and he's entitled to an income that comes to her, but when she is either begaris, when she reaches the age of begaris, or when she reaches a stage of nisuin, she had nisuin, she's no longer in his jurisdiction. And the Mishnah said, therefore, if a father marries off her daughter, not just once, even if she gets married multiple times, when she reaches a stage of nisuin, in both the marriages, the ksuva will not go to the father, the ksuva will remain by the daughter herself. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. But the argument says that no, that the first marriage, the father marries her off, and then she has a nesuin, even though once she's a nesuin, she's really out of the father's domain, the ksuva of the first marriage does go to the father. The ksuva of the first marriage goes to the father. The ksuva of the second marriage would indeed not go to the father. We pointed out the father's not really marrying her off on a deraisa level of the second marriage. That's a yisem of chayavia. That's the same thing as her brother's mother marrying her off. That wouldn't be, she's already out of the father's domain even before the second marriage. But the point is, we're just saying that the ksuva of the first marriage, the first time this tana gets married, the ksuva of the first marriage, the first nesuin, even though it's after nesuin, it's still the father's entitlement. The question was, why? So we explained yesterday, the last words we said yesterday was, Rabbi Vesav Amr Tavai, which is beginning inside, Halu B'shusay Nechtavim. So it's about 12, 13 lines up at the bottom of the page, Halu B'shusay Nechtavim. Since the ksuva was normally written right before the nesuin, we'll see in the Gemara that the ksuva actually starts from Erisin, but the ksuva was written right before the nesuin, and since it was written before the nesuin, she's still in the domain of her father, even though she's Arusa, she's still in the domain of the father, and that's when the ksuva is written, so he gets his rights to the ksuva when B'shas the ksuva is being written, even though she subsequently has nesuin, the rights will remain his, and if she becomes a widow or gets divorced, the ksuva will still go to her father, according to Yehuda. So the Gemara has a question. We know that in general, when there's a chayv, when one owes someone money, so the halach is, especially if it's written in a shtar, there is a shiba, there's a shiba nechasim. So if Reuven owes Shimon $100, and Reuven has assets, and Reuven sells the assets, Shimon has a right to collect from those assets, again, provided typically that there's a shtar, that there's a shtar that says Reuven owes Shimon the money, Shimon can go to collect from the, from, he has a lien on Reuven's assets, and he can go to the lekuchas and go collect. By ksuva, this the Rishonim point out that this Gemara understands what he takes for granted. Even when a ksuva isn't yet written, because we just said a minute ago, ksuva is often written only b'shas nesuin, even if the ksuva was written yet, there's a concept called the ksuvas tanai bezdin. It's automatic, it's going to come up very much in this parak, that different details of the ksuva, even if they're not written, they're all called tanai bezdin. Tanai bezdin is part of the agreement, it's like a standard agreement in bezdin, whether it's written or not, and it's understood that every husband has an obligation to his wife of ksuva, and therefore, presumably she would have a right to go to collect from the mishabadim. That seems to be, that halacha is clear. What's the question? The question is, we're saying that from erisin there's already really a ksuva, but only from nesuin is it when it's typically written. Would that change the status of when she can collect from the encumbered properties? Could she only collect from the time that the shire is actually written, ksuva is written, or from the time of erisin? Let's see it inside. Umigvas mamas gavas. From when does she, or in our case, the father, have a right to collect the ksuva from the husband's properties, even from the encumbered properties? Is it from the erisin or is it from the nesuin? Says Gemara, Amrav Una, mana masayim in erisin. The mana masayim, the base ksuva amount, the standard ksuva amount, mana for an amana, or masayim 200 zuz for a basula, that is able to be collected from erisin, meaning you can go to lekuchas mishas erisin already. But any extras that the husband gives her, that's only from the shas nesuin, from when the ksuva is typically written down, only from then is he able to collect. Rav Asi, or she able to collect, I should say. Rav Asi, Amar Vas says, echazem echazem nesuin. No, all of the rights to collect start from nesuin. Now, this is a very important nekuda over here. The Mefarshim point out that let's say the husband dies or divorces her from erisin. They never got to nesuin. Clearly, even though they never got to stage of nesuin, clearly there's still going to be an obligation from the husband to the wife for ksuva. There's a discussion if it's derais, drabanan, but clearly there's still an obligation of ksuva, and that obligation of ksuva can be collected from lekuchas. That can be collected from lekuchas. L'chur, the whole shaila here is that since there's a ksuva being written at the shas nesuin, does that take away the power to collect from lekuchas from erisin or not? And on that, Rav Huna is saying that it depends on the base amount, you can collect from erisin. On the Haysafa, you can collect only from Nisuin, and Ravasi saying that no, both Taka can only be collected from Nisuin. Once you have a new shtar saying, once you have a shtar being written, B'shas Nisuin, that's the date that I think property is uncovered from or any date prior to that, you cannot collect from the Kuchas, you can only collect from the Baal himself, but not from the Kuchas. So Rav Huna is saying that he kind of collect the base from the original date and the Lekuchas from the later date. Ask the Gemara, we have a member from Rav Huna, let's say a woman pulls out two ksuvas against her husband. One ksuva says she's owed 200, one ksuva says she's owed 300. Now, it's a key point over here. The ksuva that says she's owed 200 is from the earlier date. Let's just say, maybe from the earlier part of Eirsin. The ksuva that says she's owed 300 is from a later date, maybe close to Nisuin. So the shaila is as follows. She wants to collect, she likes the earlier date because it makes the properties of the husband encumbered. There's a lien on them from an earlier time. Mesat Sheni, the second shtar, gives her a higher value, gives her 300 zuz. So what's the halacha? Vam Rav Huna, Paslik Ves Mesayim, Gaivim Ves Man Rishon. Shalosh Meis, Gaivim Ves Man Sheni. According to what does Rav Huna rule over there? He says over there, if you want to collect from the earlier Zman, if you want the benefit of the earliest man, you can only collect 200 zuz. If you want the benefit of the 300 zuz, you can only collect from the latest man. You have to pick or choose which one you want. Venisa, but according to what we just said, according to what we just said, that Ravuna holds, the base amount is from Erison, and the Hesaf is from Nisuin. Say the same thing here. Why don't you say, Tigvi Masayim, Mizman Rishon, let her collect 200 zuz from the earliest man. Use that star for the earliest man for the 200 zuz. Umeyav Mizman Sheni, and let's use the second star just for the, not for the full 300, the additional 100, Yitaka can only collect from the Zman Sheni, from Zman Nisuin, from the second star. But why don't you say that the same way everyone is splitting by us, at the base ksuvah is from Erison, and the Aisaf is from the Shas Nisuin. Says Gemara, Ul Tamech, Tigbi Chamesh Meis Kulam. One second. Why are you only collecting 200 plus 100? There's two ksuvahs there. One ksuvah says 200, one ksuvah says 300. 200 plus 300 is 500. Why are you not collecting 500? Says Gemara. Why don't you collect 500 Messiah Mizman Rishon, Klas Mizman Sheni, collect 200 from the first date and 300 from the second date? Why not? Ella, Chamesh Meis Matam Eloi Gavi, why are you not collecting 500? Kivin Loi Kasav La Tzivisi Vaisifas La Klas Mea Amasayim. The reason why you're not collecting 500 is because the Derech of Esafa, the way normally what the husband writes to the wife is, I'm being Meisif to you, and in addition to the base Ksuva, I'm being Meisif to you X. I'm being Meisif to you extra money. That's the typical Lashon that's written into the Ksuva for Esafa. In this case, there's a Ksuva that says 200, there's a Ksuva that says 300, but nowhere did it write that the 300 is a Esafa. So since it didn't write 300 Esafa, we're not going to assume it's a full Esafa onto the 200. Rather, we assume it's 200 original, plus an extra 100. Says the Gemara, so hachamalei, imaz bar mishin gavis gavim mesayim, imaz bar sheni gavis gavit lasmeya. So once we're saying he didn't write a safa, you know, we interpret the husband's actions, we interpret what the husband's doing as follows. If you want to keep the original star at 200 and keep the original date and have that right of shibudim from that date, no problem, keep it, but you only gave it to 200. If you want to get now 300, you'll have to collect from the new date. So the fact that the husband didn't write a safa is showing that he's coming to give her a choice. Either use the original star or use the new one, but not that this star is simply a safa on the original star and that both could be used. So again, the question was, Rav Huna, by us, says that the original mana Masayim is collected in Zman Erison, and only the Haisafa is restricted to the Zman Asuin. Yeah, Rav Huna elsewhere says that you have a choice to collect either 200 or 300, but you don't say you can collect both. What's the chilik? And the answer is, the chilik is because over there, he didn't say, I'm being maisif another 100 onto the ksuva. Rather, it was a totally separate star. And since it's a totally separate star, we say, what he's trying to do is tell her, either collect from the earliest man and collect less, or collect based on the latest man and collect more. Okay. Hachanami, tapav, sorry, the Murphy's voice. Madam Alav, Hachanami, how many times did Gavi? The reason why over here, she's not going to collect 200 from the first date and 100 from the second date, is same svara. Again, the first question was, so why don't we apply the same logic in this other case? Say, when you might have a star of 200 and 300, say collect 200 for the first man and just 100 for the second man. Why don't you do that? Yeah, you don't do also, because again, he didn't say I'm being maisif, and therefore you cannot collect the second 100. Now, the extra 100 from the second date, you have a choice, either 300 from the new date or 200 from the original date. Now, a couple points. First of all, the Rif points out that our whole discussion here, actually, it's really going to be really more focused on the next Gemara, but let's be the next lines. Amar Mar. Ibay Hai Gava, Ibay Hai Gava. So first of all, the Lashon of Amar Mar is a little unique over here, because typically Amamar is we quote word for word verbatim a memory that was just said Amamar, and we quote a memory that was just said. Rashi right away addresses without anything. Rashi points out Amamar means Adrav Huna. Read Rashi inside about 8 lines down the top of the page. Rashi Adrav Huna Kai the Amar and Bus Ligves Masayim. Rav Huna said, if she wants to collect 200, she collects from the early date. If she wants to collect 300, she collects from the later date. What we see is that when there's two shtaris, she has a choice which one to use. So we're going with that memory of Rav Huna. I'm a married boy, Hai Gavya. So we're kind of paraphrasing Rav Huna, that if she wants, you could use the 200 shtar from the earlier date, or you could use the 300 shtar from the later date, but you could pick and choose one or the other. That is Rav Huna's statement. So we're going to bring a machlekes about this. Lema pligi Rav Nachman. Let's say everyone argues Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says you have to shein yesarishin. Rav Nachman says you have two shtaris that go out one after the other. So the second one is mevatel to the first one. Meaning, let's say Reuven has a shtar that says Shimon sold him a field January 1st, and then Reuven has a shtar that Shimon sold him that same field on May 1st. So the May 1st shtar is mevatel to the first shtar. It demonstrates that the first star is nothing, is no good. Similarly, lav dafka sale, matana also. If Reuven is a star that says Shimon gave him matana on January 1st, this field, and then about the same field that says Shimon gave matana on May 1st, again, the same story, the second star is about the first star. So according to Rav Nachman, we're saying you can't collect either star. The second star is a rye. The first star was something was wrong with it, it's no good. So Rav Nachman seems to be arguing Rav Huna, who says, Ibayim hai gavya, Ibayim hai gavya. So that's the Gemara, Mechatez is machlaikis. Lav mitmar Allah, didn't we say, Amar Papa, umayd Rav Nachman, the Isif Padikla, Rav Nachman himself said that what if in the second shtar it says Reuven bought a field from Shimon, or Reuven got a matana as a field from Shimon, same field, same thing as the end of the first shtar, but the second shtar also adds plus a certain dekel tree. Simple, a certain palm tree was added to the second shtar. Once there was something added to the second shtar, we no longer say the second shtar is coming to get rid of the first shtar and demonstrate the first shtar was nothing, was possible, was no good. Rather, the second shtar is coming to be meisif, the small dekel tree, whatever it is, the small yisafa, that's being meisif. And over there, Nachman would agree that both stars are still could be in effect. The first star was for the base field exchange, and the second star was to add the tree. So if that's the case, here it's beautiful. Rav Nachman could agree with Huna, when you have the first star saying 200 zuz, and the second star saying 300 zuz, we can explain the reason why the second star is in existence. It's not because the first star was nothing, was fake, but rather it's in existence because the first star only had 200, second star is adding, is being meisif another 100, and therefore, perhaps Rav Nachman would agree that the second star would still be good. Gufa. Amar Nachman. If you have two stars that come out one after the other, Bittel Shein Yesarishin, the second star, it gets rid of the first star. The fact that there's a second star in existence shows that there's something missing, there's something wrong with the first star. Rav Papa, Amar Papa, why Rav Nachman, Yosef, the E, Isif, but if there was something added to the second star, such as a palm tree, then you wrote the second star just for that purpose, and it wouldn't nullify the first star. Again, what's the afkmina? You can ask, what's the afkmina between the first star being nullified or not? Either way, you have a second star which demonstrates the same exact transaction, the same field being transacted. The chilik is, of course, is legabe lekuchas, legabe from when Reuven owned this field, from when did he have rights, and if the field is removed from him, from when he has rights to go back to the sellers, Shimon's lekuchas, to recollect his assets. Is it from the first zman of the first star or the second star? So it's saying if there's a second star, normally it's about to the first star, but if the second star is mace of something, then it's about the first star. Says the Gemara now. Pshita, Rishon Mecher, B'Sheni Matana. It's Pasha that, let's say the first star wrote Mecher. Reuven bought the field from Shimon, January. And the second star says, Reuven received it as a Matana. With over there, it's Pasha, we say, the second star, and there's no way suffer. You didn't add any dekel, you didn't add anything else to it. We say the second star itself is not being mevat to the first star. Why not? Liyapas kayachu de kasvle. The reason why they wrote a second star is to be miyapa the kayach of Reuven. Shimon wrote Reuven a second star in order to enhance Reuven's kayach. Why? Mishum dina de bar metzah. Famous din dina de bar metzah. Dina bar metzah is that if Reuven wants to come by a field from Shimon, and Shimon has a neighbor who owns the neighboring property, the halach is the neighbor has rights of first refusal. It's based on the pasuk, Fasisa Yashva Taiv. You should always do what's good and what's proper. And we know that it's much easier for a person to maintain, to care for two fields, two pieces of property right next door to each other than properties that are not near each other. So Reuven, presumably, yeah, he wants this property, but he can buy another property. He doesn't have anything else nearby. The current owner, Shimon's neighbor, Shimon's neighbor owns the field next door. For him, it's a much more of a convenience to be able to have the two adjacent fields, or two adjacent houses, whatever it may be. And therefore, there's a concept called Deed Bar Metzra that the neighbor has first rights. So if Reuven would go and buy the field from Shimon, and Shimon's neighbor says, hey, I was ever given an option to buy, the neighbor can kick Reuven off and say, here, take the money. I'm going to pay full price. He's got to match full price. But kick Reuven off and say, I want the field. But that only applies where? By a mechira. If Reuven is buying the field from Shimon, so the neighbor could say, I want to buy it. But if Reuven's getting a matana, then the neighbor can't tell Reuven, go get a matana somewhere else. Doesn't work. Matana, of course, not something which he can choose where he gets matana. Well, this is the way he got the matana, and the dinim of Bar-Metzra don't apply by matana. And therefore, if you write a second shtar of matana after a first shtar of mecher, we say that the second shtar is not an indication that the first shtar is garnished, but rather the second shtar is there just to strengthen Reuven's hand in case the neighbor comes one day and wants to claim. Dinim of Bar-Metzra, Reuven just could pull out the shtar mecher and say, I didn't buy it. I got it as a matana, and by matana is no din metzer. Taisa points out, if you jump into the second taste of the page, Taisa points out, Mishim dini bar metzer, v'yatsnil eisa shemecher. He would have to hide the first star. You'd have to hide the star of mecher, because if the star of mecher is around, then they know it's a mecher, and he just wrote a star matana just for kicks, just to give Reuven the benefit, but it wasn't really a matana, then a vada dini bar metzer would still apply. Reuven's going to have to hide the star of mecher and only have the star of matana, which is interesting that we're sanctioning this. We're saying that it's okay to be a little bit, right? It's not really matana, but he's giving him the mile of matana at the expense of the neighbor. Okay. But then Taisa points out, what if the lekech himself was already the neighbor? What if the lekech was already the neighbor? So there is no Deed Bar Metzra. Would we switch over there and say, okay, so the Reuven already is the neighbor himself. He bought a field from Shimon, a neighboring field from Shimon. And then the shtar was in January. And then you have a new shtar in May. Are you going to say over there that the new star in May, the star Matana, is there for Bar Metzah purposes? He's the Bar Metzah, no Bar Metzah purposes. So the Chayr over there, it would no longer be able to be Taylor in Bar Metzah, and therefore the first star should be Batel. So Taisvis, no. The idea of Bar Metzah is Lav Davka. So Taisvis, Fiesh Befershim, the Lav Davka Naka Mishim Dina Bar Metzah. The Fila Shayach Dina Bar Metzah, Le Bitel Shenias Rishin, the Nafkamina Inyan Derech. There's another Nafkamina. So Taisvis, Bar Metzah is just an example of one Maila of Matana over Mecher. That what? That by Matana, there's no Din of Bar Metzra, whereas by Mecha there is. But there are other examples, and that would also be enough to say that the first star is not nullified. What's another example? Halacha is if Reuven sells Shimon a field amongst Reuven's fields, Shimon has to, and then Shimon has no way to get there. So we don't say that Reuven sold Shimon the field. Obviously, he sold him some sort of derech, a rite of passage to get to the field. No. A person who sells by Ayin Ra, and now when Shimon owns the field, he needs a rite of passage. He's got to pay for that too separately. He's got to pay for a rite of passage separately. Whereas when one gives a matana to his friend, we say that person who gives a matana by Ayin Yafeh, and therefore, not only did he give him the field, the matana, the field is a matana, he also gave him a rite of passage. So, says Taisvis, that can be another nafkamina. The original shtar was a shtar mecher. It didn't entitle Reuven to a rite of passage to this field from that he bought from Shimon. The second shtar is a shtar matana from Shimon to Reuven. That would entitle Reuven to a rite of passage because it's b'ayin yafa. And therefore, that would be another reason to say that the second shtar was being written not to nullify the first shtar, but to give the kayach of a proof of a rite of passage. So again, the point that Taisvis is bringing out is Din Bar Metzra is not Lav Davka. The point is, any Maila that we're going to see in the Shtar Mecher would tell me that the Shtar Matana that came earlier is not being nullified. What about the other way? Kol Shekein. If the original Shtar is a Shtar Matana, and now the new Shtar is a Shtar Mecher, that's for sure clearly a Maila. Not just getting rid of the original Shtar, it's a Maila. Why? What's the Maila? Because Shtar Mecher doesn't create a Shibat Lekuchas. When one gets a gift, if the gift gets taken away, he can't go back to the Lekuchas and demand repayment. Where, unless it's a gift for the Chrayas, it's a concept, but he can't demand, typically he can't go demand payment from the Lekuchas. Whereas a Mecher, of course, one can go back and demand payment from the seller's Lekuchas. Says the Gemara, V'kol Shekein, Risha Matana, V'sheni Mecher. The first case was Matana. And the second case was a mecher. The second star was a mecher. We say the reason why the second star was written is not to nullify the first star, but rather it was written because it was giving the kayach of a mecher to go back to the lekuchas. Ella, what's the case where we're saying the star is not going to be good? The first star is going to be nullified. Ishtem mecher, ishtem matana, bidul shenis rishon. So this is Rav Nachman had said, and the second star is about the first star is when the two stars are consistent. Both were mecher or both were matana. Why do you have two stars, a mecher, two of matana? It's an indication that the first star is no good. Says the Gemara, my taima, what's pshat? Why is the second star nullifying the first star? What's the logic behind it? I understand there's two stars, one of them's extra. Why is the second star good and the first star no good? Gemara gives three reasons. We say that the one who, the lekeach, let's say, or the recipient, by a matana is made that the first star was ziv, was a fake star, right? And therefore, the second star is an indication that the parties are agreeing that the first star was really a fake star. It was mziyif. V'achamer emachulach leshibute. No, more simple than that. By writing a second star, it's an indication that the recipient is meichel any shibud. He's meichel whatever shibud there was. Taisa points out right away that it's very nice to get an answer by a purchaser. A purchaser with a shibud, we say having a second star is an indication that the purchaser is meichel the shibud from the earliest man, and he's delaying the shibud now to the second man. But by matan is no shibud to begin with. By matan is no shibud. So the answer is, in a case where, there's various answers. One answer is, could be a case where he gave him matana with a chrayas. There's a concept of having a matana with a chrayas. So that would be a case where Shibud is relevant by Matana as well. Okay. Sorry, I said there's three answers, only two answers. Either because we assume it's a star that was Mazuyev, or because fake star, or because he was Meichel the Shibud. My Benayu, what's the Chiluk? There's three Chilukim in these two terrors. That's the three that I was thinking of. My Benayu, Ika Benayu, Aru Sahate. One Afkmina is that if he's saying the first star is Mazuyev, the Edom that signed on that star, when I say Mazuyev, what I mean is that the loan, the sale, the transaction hadn't taken place. Which means if Edom signed on such a transaction which didn't take place, that means these are false Edom. So you're passing these Edom by determining the first star was no good, it was a fake star, the Edom that signed on it now lost their credibility. That's one Afghan who is according to the second lesson, that he's just being Meichel the Shibud, the Edom won't lose the credibility, there was a star, and he's being Meichel the Shibud, now there's a new star. That's Afghan number one. Nafkin number two, Ushulame Peri. Nafkin number two is, let's say the fruits were eaten by the purchaser in the interim. If the sale taka never took place till now, till the second star, he owes to pay back those fruits. If the sale took place, but he's just been Meichel Shibud, he doesn't owe those fruits. The fruits belonged to him rightfully when he ate them. He just was Meichel Shibud, and therefore he wouldn't have to pay back for the fruits. That's Nafkin number two. And Nafkin number three is Lataska, who owes the property tax for that zman. If it was really a sale at the earlier time, but he's just being Meichel the Shibud, then he owes the property tax. If it was not really a sale, if the whole document was a fake star, and the sale only happened later, then the property tax is owned by the original owner and not by the new owner. Three nafkaminas. Okay, but before we go further, just again, two quick points. First of all, this is what we were starting to speak up before. The Rif says this whole Shaka Rataya that we've been discussing is talking about dafka by matana, could be by halva as well, matana. No, sorry, dafka by matana or by mechira. Side by Matana, side by Mechira. Over there, we're discussing that the second star is Mevat to the first star, according to Menachman. According to Avuna, we said maybe not. Then we said maybe it's different because Avuna's talking about case of Beisafa. But the whole Shaka Rataya is talking about transactions of sale or Matana. But by Halva, says the Rif, let's say you have a star that says Ruvain borrowed $1,000 from Shimon. And then you have a star that says Ruvain borrowed $1,000 from Shimon, same exact amount. Even if it's very close in time, certainly if it's far apart in dates, but even if it's very close in time, even if it's the same day, says the Rif, we take the assumption that both shares are true. It's very common that a person borrows money and he doubles down and borrows more from the same lender. And even if it's the same day, we would take the assumption that both shares are true. As opposed to over here, the guy didn't sell the same field twice. Doesn't make sense. He didn't give the same field twice matana. He can't do the same field twice matana. So he's saying only the second star is good, or maybe there's a reason why he has a second star in the case of Eisafa. But by case of Ava, we'd say simply everyone would agree with Nachman and Funa, both shares are good, and we assume both loans are true. And Itaka owes not 1,000. And there's two stars, rather he owes 2,000, and there's two separate stars, one on each 1,000, 2,000 is owed. Okay, that's the Rif. The Mefarshim discuss the following machlekes. We're saying, according to Rav Nachman, that when you have two stars, the second star nullifies the first. But when you meisav something in the second star, if there's a hisaf in the second star, then it doesn't nullify the first star. As Rav Nachman's maida, the first star remains, and it doesn't nullify the first star. What does Rav Nachman hold about which star you could use? Does Rav Nachman hold that, again, Vayter, similar to Rav Huna, had said, you could pick a star, Ibai Hai Gavya, but you have to pick one star. So you use either star that's earlier with lesser amount, or the star that's later with the stronger amount, or no, that you're able to merge and use both benefits. You can use the earlier star with earliest man for the lesser amount, and just for the Safa, use the second star. That is the question that the Rishonim discuss. Rashi seems to learn very clearly. We're comparing this case of a Safa in general to the case of Ksuva, the taste of Ksuva, and the same logic like we said by Rav Huna, Ibai Hai Gavya, you have a choice, but you can't use the benefits of both. However, Rashba Ritva, they quote from the Aruch, Magamisha says the same for the Rambam, that the comparison to Shtei Shtaros just was that the two Shtaros, you can have a case where you have two Shtaros that seemingly are repetitive, and both Shtaros are valid. But in this case, you'd be able to utilize the milos of both Shtaros. So collect the base amount from the earlier star with the earlier zman and be able to go to the tukuchas, and then whatever they suffer is Yitak would have to only be able to collect from the second zman, but you'd be able to use the benefits of both stars over here. Why would it be different than ksuva? What would be the logic? Why would we say over here that you can get the benefit of both, whereas by the case of ksuva we seem to be saying ibai hagam, you can't get the benefits of both? So first to point out, because it makes a lot of sense, it's mistava that by ksuva a husband and wife, they're married, they have a ksuva. Why would he write for a second ksuva? It's possible that he wrote it not just for the Sefer. He wrote a second ksuva, or say better, even if he wrote for the Sefer, why not get rid of the first ksuva? Because the halacha is that a man is not allowed to be married to a woman without a ksuva. It's asr adam to be with his wife. It's asr to live with his wife, to have relations, if there's no ksuva. She's not saying mechtas. It's asr to be together without a ksuva. So in the case of the ksuva's lost, he has no choice but to write a new ksuva. So over there, there's an assumption that even though he's writing a second ksuva, he doesn't really want it to be two ksuvas around. The standard case is there may be two ksuvas, but only because one was lost, he doesn't actually want two ksuvas to be there in practice. And therefore, we're not going to allow both ksuvas to be used. You say, they're both kosher ksuvas. And therefore, if you want to use the first one, use the first one. If you want to use the second, use the second. But you cannot use the benefits of both. Whereas by Shtar Kinyan, why would you have a second Shtar Kinyan? Why would there's already Shtar Kinyan? Why were a second Shtar Kinyan? The guy lost it, it's his problem. Why are you writing a second Shtar Kinyan? If the maker is agreeable, the seller, the present giver, if he's agreeable to write a second Shtar Kinyan, that must mean he's trying to give the biggest milus to the purchaser, to the recipient. And if he's trying to give the biggest milus, he taka wants it to be the milus of both stars. The earlier date from the first star and the larger amount from the second star, he wants to give both of the milus. That's the svar to say chilek in the Rishonim, the ones that the Rashi writes for Rambam that are mechalek between the case of ksuva and the case of matano or mechira. That matano mechira, when both stars are able to be used, you could take a bet, not pick which one. You could use the benefits of both. Whereas by ksuva, you have to pick which one you want to use, the earlier one with the lesser amount or the later one with the higher amount, but you cannot get the benefits of both stars. Okay. My havila. Bottom line, back to our original question when we started today. We had a question. There's actually one other point before we go further. One other point. We're saying enough community between two tzritzim, whether the second star is demonstrating the first star was a full star or whether you meichel the shibud. And Rashi says, first nafkina was that the pasla sadi, what does that mean? The eidim assigned on the first star are apostle because clearly they testified about an event that didn't even happen and therefore they're apostle. Tesis jumps on the Rashi and says, you can apostle the eidim because they wrote a second star. So the seller and the buyer are creating a second star. They come up the corner and say that this transaction took place. They're believed, and you have eidim to sign it. Just because they're saying that this happened, are they neman to apostle the eidim? Even if two other eidim come and testify that the eidim says not true, it's trey, machlekes if the eidim remain kasha to testify elsewhere. Only place we find that eidim become guaranteed apostle is by hazama. Or if they testify the guy's dead, and the guy walks back alive in front of our face, so we see they're liars. But in general, otherwise, it's very difficult to apostle to aid them. And over here, the fact that they're writing a second shtar, which indicates they're admitting the first shtar is false, that alone is going to apostle to aid them. Tesis says it's very schwer to say the aid them become apostle. So Tesis explains a little different than Rashi. The Gemara's lashon is, Iruye, the aid them become weakened. What does it mean? Tesis says it means that this guy himself, this buyer, if he produces a shtar, a different shtar, at a different time, with the same two aid them signing on it, he can't use that shtar because the Shavya Avshay, the idea we've had earlier, this guy himself is saying these eidim are liars because by writing a second shtar, he's saying the first shtar is false. The first shtar is false. Why did eidim sign it? So he's saying they're liars. He can't use these eidim elsewhere in another shtar. But avada these eidim themselves, they're not puzzle. They could be signed in other shtars and they're still kosher eidim. Like Kol Kamine says Taisvus, you wouldn't have the power this by writing a second shtar to puzzle these other eidim, a big safe and taste. Okay. But bottom line is we didn't get the psak. Our kshayla was, when is the shibud? When does the actual shibud start for the ksuva? When does the shibud start? Does it start from Erisin or does it start from Nesuin? Mahavela, the ksuva, what's the din by ksuva? Tashema, Damar Vyudam Rashmuel, Mishim Rablaz of Rabshimin, Mana Messiah and Erisin, but Tesavis Menasuin. The first Mana Messiah, the Mana, base Mana of an Amana, or the Messiah of a Basula, that is Meshubit already from Erisin. The Tesavis only from Nesuin. The Chamayim Echazev Echazem Nesuchim say, no, the shibud of it all, the shibud to go to the Kuchas, always starts from Nesuin for both the base amount and the tesefes, and that's not going to lach of ilchasa, echaz and echaz menesuin, like the chamim, the lach is, like the chamim, that both, that only collect from the nesuin. Okay. This makes us to discuss the topic of Maitzi Shemra. Maitzi Shemra is the husband has relations with his wife and doesn't find basulim, or he claims he didn't find basulim. So the lach is as follows. Some basic damas. The lach is as follows. If he's found to be a liar, and they can produce a cloth that shows that it was dam there, this Basulim. So the husband has to pay 100 kesef to the father. He gets malchus, and he's not, he has the same thing that we had earlier by Enes Vata, or by Enes at least, Leichel Shach Koyamav. He's not allowed to send her, he's not allowed to divorce her, he's not allowed to stay married forever. That's if they prove him to be a liar. Again, malchus, Mea Kesef, and he's got to stay married to her. He already is married to her, so the Wilson says Chiv to marry her, he's got to stay married to her. If, however, it's found to be true, if it's found to be true that she was Mazana, in between Eris and Nisuan, she was Mazana Tachtav, so she was Eish Shizish, that's Mazana. The Lachis, she gets Skila, which is different than a regular Eish Shizish. A regular Eish Shizish gets Chenek. But a Naira, talking about Dafka, about a Naira, Hamarasa, who strayed during Erisin, she gets punished for Skila, and there's a separate din, she gets the Skila by Pesach Beis Aviyah. She gets the Skila at the opening, the doorway to the father's house, to so to speak, to say that this girl was raised in this house, and look what happened. And that's where Skeel takes place, in that location. Okay, some basic dinim of Eitz Hashem before you see the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah elaborates some qualifications or exceptions to these dinim. Let's see. Hagirish is Gaira Bitima. First of all, a Gairis. She's Megaira, and her daughter's Megaira with her, so she wasn't born as a Yid. Vizinsa, and then she was Mazana, by as a Naira, Namarasa. Harez Bechenek. She gets the regular punishment of Eishesh, also capital punishment, but Chenek strangulation, and not Skeela. Why? Because the pasuk says Bisrael, says Lashon Bisrael, and we say that excludes a Gieris who was not born as a Israelis is out of the parsha of Beis Shemra. Ain la Pesach Beis Av. There's no din for her of Pesach Beis Av of doing the capital punishment by the doorway, the entrance of father's house. Filei Meisela. There's no Meisela if the husband lied about it. There's no Meisela. She's not in the parsha of Beis Shemra. That's a case where she was a full fledged Gieris. How old was she, by the way? How old are we talking about this girl that was Megayer? So the Chira, Taisa points out, we must be talking about a girl who's less than three. Because if she was older than three, then anyway, there's no assumption that she was a Basula. There'll be no muck up for Meitzi Shemra. So we must be talking about a girl that was Megayer less than three. And with that, Taisa explains, why are we talking about a case of Hagiyarish is Gairi Bidima? Why are we focused on a case where Hagiyarish, a woman was Megayer, and she's Megayer with her daughter? That daughter is not entitled to the regular dinim of the standard dinim of Meitzi Shemra. Just say, Hagiyarish doesn't have dinim of Meitzi Shemra. Why are we saying a case where, why do we add the fact that the mother is there? This explains because we're talking about a case where she was Megaris as a young girl under the age of three. If she's over the age of three, of course nothing is Megaya. She's not a Basul anyway. She's presumed to be Bula. We're talking about the age of three, and typically a girl under the age of three is not being Megaris on her own. She's doing it with her mother, and that's why we set up the case in such a fashion. Okay. Says the Mishnah further. Let's say the pregnancy, the woman got pregnant as a guy, but then she was Megayer during the pregnancy, so the girl was born Bekdusha, she was born as Yid. What's the lach of there? In that case, if she's Mazana, as she gets older, as a Naira Rasa, as a Naira, she's Mazana, Hareza Beskila, she will get the Skila punishment Naira Rasa. However, she doesn't get the rest of the dinim. Ve'enla Pesach Beis Abba, she doesn't get she doesn't have the din of being killed Pesach Beis Aviyah. V'lei Me'asela, nor is the husband obligated to pay 100 zuz if he's found to be lying about her lack of Basulim. Ha'isar Rasa, that's Bekdusha, but what if the mother was Megayer? And then she conceived only after Geiris, and of course gave birth only after the Geiris. This girl, of course, is 100% a Yisraelis, and she has regular dinim of Meitzi Shemra of Skila. I'm sorry, yeah, of a Naira Rasa of Skila of 100 zuz if the husband was lying, and if she is found to be guilty, she has the Skila takes place Pesach Beis Aviyah. Yesh la av vein la Pesach Beis Av. What if she has a father, but the father doesn't have a house? So there is no Pesach Beis Av. Or, Yesh La'ah, Pesach Beis Av, in La'av. Or she has a Pesach Beis Av, but she doesn't have a father. So you're missing either the father or the house. Habez B'Skila. It doesn't take away from that. You don't say, oh, you can't do Skila by Pesach Beis Aviyah, so switch it to Chenek, give her Chenek like another Isha such as Mazana. No. She Avada, she still gets a Skila. Why? Says the Mishnah, Le'nemar, Pesach Beis Aviyah, Beis Av, El Mitzvah. That was a mitzvah. It was not an Ikav. Doing the Skila, performing a Pesach Beis Av, is not Ma'akev. The Ikir, the punishment is Skila. And if you could do a Pesach Beis Av, that's great. But if not, it's not going to take away from the Skila. Skila will still apply if there's no father, or if there's no house, Skila is still going to apply, even not by Pesach Beis Aviyah. Says the Gemara. Our second din was that in a case where the mother was Megayer when she was already pregnant, so she conceived the baby when she was a guy. She was Megayer while she was pregnant, and the baby was born, this girl was born already Bekdusha to a Jewish mother. The halacha is when she gets older, if she's Mazana as a Naira Rasa, there is a din of Skila. Ask the Gemara immediately. How do you know there's a skill there? L'chor, you had a miyat of the word B'Yisrael. Maybe you shouldn't exclude that case too. It says Gemara, Damakra, Vamesa. The Pasuk says Vamesa. Vamesa, the word Vamesa, is the rabbis of Rosh Hashanah for the Das Petusha. It comes to include a case where the conception was when the mother was still a guy and the birth was as a yid. That case is also going to be included in skila. Iachi. So the Mishnah said only skila, but the husband, Mishnah didn't say about Nakemal, because Mishnah says the husband is not machoyev the meyazuz if he lied. Iachi milk and amiluk and meyazel and amishalim. Why don't we say that once says a riboy, so you should be included to the din of the husband owing for defaming your 100 selah or getting and getting malchus? Why is he not including that din? Amar kra v'mesa lemisa shabalei class. The riboy was v'mesa. The riboy was legabe the misa, legabe the punishment. The gabe punishment were including this girl whose conception was as a guy, but she was born as Yid, even though she's not the full Yisrael, because the conception was as a guy. She's included in the v'mesa in the misa of skila, but not in the other items. Ask the gemara of aim the rabbis hayrasa v'leidas b'tusha. Who told you to come to include a case where the leida alone was b'tusha and the conception was as a guy? Maybe it's coming to include a case only where the mother's megayer and only then did she get pregnant and subsequently have the babies. So even the conception was when she already was a yid. Says Gemara, that's not a taina. I don't need a reboot for that. Hey, Yisraelis Malisahi. Such a girl that's born to a mother she was conceived by a mother that already was Yeris. The mother's already a full fledged yid. So the girl is conceived, of course, now. Of course, has Dinim like a regular yid, and I don't need a pasuk in Rabbit. Ask Gemara one last question in this cheshbon. Family Rabbi Sirasa Vilidasa, Shtab Kedusha, maybe it comes to include. Maybe the case is coming to include is a rasvata shlomi kedusha, the opposite extreme. Maybe it's coming to say that even if the pregnant conception and the birth of shlomi kedusha, still there's dinah skila when she's megayer. Says Gemara, then imkain be strong mahanile. We spoke out. The Gemara hadn't spoken until now. This source, but we spoke it out right away in the Mishnah that the word be Israel in the pasuk is what we said was excluding a giyeris from the dinim of Namrasa. But if you tell me that even if the hayra, the conception and the leida were both when she still was a guy, and they still give me entitled to the din of Namrasa, she's going to be part of the parish of Namrasa, then the word be Israel, the miyat, is not going to be used for anything, and therefore must be that case is excluded from the din of Namrasa. Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. Hamaytzi shemra al yisayim apater. One is maytzi shemra about a yisayim as pater. Shnema, it says pasuk v'nasnu v'yanaira. It says that there's a fine of 100 selah. Where does it go to? La v'yanaira. We darshan prat lazu shein la'av. This is mamish the drasha that Lizer wanted to make of 6-7 blad ago already on the gabi einus that we said about that when if the anusa dies before collection because there's v'nasnu v'yanaira, we say there's no din of knas over there. That you want to make a drasha, what if the father dies? Menasal v'yanaira. Clearly we said that the knas still exists. The knas exists even if the father dies. We will see actually a qualification, and the Gemara will make somewhat of that drasha very shortly, but we said till now we've been assuming that their knas is fully in place if the father dies, just if the daughter dies, no knas. Here we're saying by Maitzi Shemra, if the father is dead, there is no din of Maitzi Shemra. Ask the Gemara a question. Masar b'yisib ha'oven, v'tem b'yisib ha'zvida, v'man yaman aviyah. This is by the parasha of Mefuta. It says v'man yaman aviyah, if the father refuses to give his daughter over to this guy that was Mefata's daughter. The halacha is that now there's no marriage, and the guy has to pay knas. When we spoke out, by Mefuta, the guy has a choice. Marry this girl, or pay knas. By Einus, he has got to pay the knas regardless. By Mefuta, he has a choice. Marry the young girl, or do knas. The halacha is that even if he chooses, he wants to marry her, doesn't pay knas. If the father or the girl, if the father or the girl don't want to marry him, they don't want the marriage to take place, they don't like him, then he's still obligated to pay the knas. Even though he wants to go ahead with the marriage, he has to pay knas. So we say over here, the rabbi says the knas. We say over there, the double lashon comes to include that not only if the father refuses, even if the daughter refuses, she still dies the knas, even as a yisayma. Basically, so we see that don't darshan the lashon of nasla v'yanaira to mean the father has to be alive, like you're saying by Maitzi Shemra, because by Mefuta we don't say that. Says the Gemara, who Maisiv la bumafikla? He asked the question. He answered himself. Rabeisiv oven or Rabeisiv asvida. He answered himself. The case is where the bia took place while the father was alive. And only afterwards, achar nesiasim, I should say. And only after the violation took place, only then she became yaseima. Meaning, what I'm saying is like this. When we said in our Gemara, Adrasha, that v'nasla v'yanara, that Maitzi Shemra only applies to a girl who has a father, if she's yaseima, it's talking about a case where she was yaseima, b'shas, the maisa, b'shas, the bia, and the defamation, she really was yaseima. Allah is no din of Maitzi Shemra, no din of 100 zuz, that's gonna go, there's no payment. When we say by mefata, and who had din the Hanusa, that the knas is paid even if she was a yisema, even if there's no father, that's talking about a case where the father was around b'shas, the act, when it took place, and the father was no longer, he died after the the Anusa Mefuta act happened before the collection, then we say that there's still going to be a payment. But Enachanami sounds like, according to this, if the father wasn't around Bechlau, Bishas, it sounds pretty ironic that Nebuch, the poor girl, is like adding insult to injury. She's Yisema, she loses the rights to the 100 Zuz, or by Anusa Mefuta, she loses the rights to the Kanas money, but that's the din. Vinas Levianara, it's a Joshua Sapasak, it's a Gzeres Akasa, Vinas Levianara, only if the father's around. If there's no father around, the Taka would not be an entitlement to Mesh Shemar monies or to Kanas monies if he wasn't around Bishas, the act of Anusa Mefuta. So ultimately, Lizer, your drasha did finally come to fruition. Okay. Rava, let's go 2 more minutes. I know it's late. 2 more minutes. Rava Amar Chayev. Rava argues, and Rava says, that even by Maitzi Shemra, even though it says Masiv the Anara, and she's Yisema, there's still a Chayev. Why? Memai. Meditani Ami, Besulas Yisrael, Vle Besulas Gerim. Ami has the following drasha. The din of Maitzi Shemra applies to Besula of Yisrael, and we darshan to exclude a Besula of Gerim that you don't have a din of Maitzi Shemra. Now, why do you need such a drasha? By definition, a Geiris doesn't have a father. She's like Yisema, because we know Geshuk in this guy, because Shalom Dami, she has a fling of Yichas, and she has no father. Says the Gemara, Yab Bishlama, Kegavim Bishrael, Mechayev. Bishlama, if you say Yisema, a regular Yisema, there's a din of Maitzi Shemra by her. Then it makes sense. How did this occur? Lamita Gerim. That's why you need apostles to exclude Gerim. Eliyam and Bisrael, Kagam and Pater. But if you say, even by Yid, in such a case, the Lach is, there's a Ptur, there's no Dinah Moisi Shemra, because she's Yisema, so there's no father there. Hash to be Bisrael, Pater, be Gerim, Abayle. So a Gerim, who have no father, certainly there'd be no din of Moisi Shemra there. And therefore, the factor of Ami made a drush to exclude a Gerim from the din of Gerim, from the din of Moisi Shemra, is an indication that a normally Yisema would have a din of Maitzi Shemra. Okay, says the Gemara. Amar Shlakish, Amaitzi Shemra al Katana Pater Shnemar Vinas Lavi Naira. The pasuk says a lasha of Naira by the parish of Maitzi Shemra, and therefore says Shlakish, a Katana is excluded from the din of Maitzi Shemra, and furthermore elaborates Naira Moli Dima Kasim. Typically in the Torah, the word Naira is written Nun Ayin Reish. We pronounce with a kamat under the reish. Sounds like the way we'd write out Naira with a hay at the end, but it doesn't have hay at the end. By Maitzi Shemra, it's written Moli Nun Ayin Reish Hay with a hay at the end, and therefore says Yishlokish, it comes to say Tafka Naira and not Ktana. Maskar of Achabar Abba, you're telling me the reason why this is a chazar for us, we know this idea. The reason why, you know, the Parsha Maitzi Shemra is talking about a case of a Naira is because you have the hay. Time to cause by Naira only because you have the hay at the end. Otherwise, you think the parsha over there is talking about Ketana. Halavachi, Havamina, Fila Ketana. You're telling me that without the hay, I would think the parsha of Mitzvah is talking about Ketana. Can't be talking about Ketana. Haksiv, because it says with MS Hayadavar. MS Hayadavar has that. Lenitz Besul Naira. Vayitzu Yas Naira, El Pesach Beis Avyos Kulua. Pesach says that if it's true, the wife takastray during this Erison period, she gets skila. But if we're talking about ketana, ketana is baskili. It says Gemara, ketana lava sainchimi. Ketana is no sheikh. Ketana obviously can't get punished, can't get ainchim. So that's obviously a riot that the parsha is not talking about ketana. So you don't need your drush of the nun ayin reish hey at the end. Naira mole dibar kasev to exclude ketana. It's excluded. Anyway, it's clear from the context that ketana is excluded. Says the Gemara, elakan naira. Rather, if you ever shlokish a statement, the statement can still hold true, but it means to say as follows. Elakan Naira, the Torah writes Naira Mali over here. Well, we know it's talking about Naira Nakatana because it can't be talking about Ketana because Ketana wouldn't get a Chiv Skil anyway. But it wrote the word Naira Mali over here to demonstrate, and this is what we had earlier in the Perek, that it wrote the word Naira here Mali to demonstrate that Dafka here, Naira with Mali, isn't a Naira. Elsewhere where it says Naira without a Hay, it means even Ketana, says Gemara, Hakamagashar, and the point is for the Diak. Over here we know it's talking about a Naira. The point is for the Diak, Hakamagashar, Naira, anywhere else where it says we're Naira, I think Ketana Mashma, it would even include Ketana, and that's what we had earlier. That was the Shishat Chachamim who held that the Din of Knas applies not just to a Naira, the Din of Knas applies even to a Ketana, as long as she's 3 years old and above, where the Psalm don't come back, the Din of Knas, the Din of Anis Mefuta does apply. I, Lechayre, Pasas says Naira, Teretz, it says a Chasser, and where it says without the Hay, we say it means Afilu Ketana, Be Mashma. Let's pause over here, Mitzvah, we'll pick up from here.